from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Welcome back into the Insiders. We're here on the second hour.
I am
James Hamm. That noise was Jake Gayden, who is filling in today, CBS 13. Of course, Kyle is on vacation, and so we're running this thing. James's friends, that's what I like to call it this week.
Can I clear something up real quick in the chat real quick?
Yeah.
Jake, have you ever worked at State Farm? And I think the answer to that is no, but that is the consistent Halloween costume every year, and it's the easiest thing I've ever put together.
I think it's also possible that there will come a time where Jake does work for State Farm.
Is that my retirement plan for me? Is that what you're at?
It's a pretty good retirement plan. Those guys get resist. I think they actually do all right. If they're able to afford those commercials, it is what it is. So, we've got all kinds of things going on in the chat today, which
I love the chat.
I think that there is like really, really good questions. So if you're out there and you're stationed at a desk somewhere listening to us, you might want to go to youtube.espn13. Help me out here, Jesse.
Look up ESPN 1320 on YouTube and you'll find us.
There it is.
Live. ESPN 1320 TV.
Yeah. And so the chat is absolutely spectacular. And hey, look, there have been some very difficult questions asked by the chat today, because it's a pipeline to reach out directly to me, to Jake, to Kyle, to D'Lo, to Casey, anybody else you want to reach out to. And there's a cool little community there. So we don't just cover the Sacramento Kings here. That's not what we do. Jake, are you going to the NFC Championship game this weekend?
I am. I'm really excited. It's really, really cool.
Take care of this.
And if they win, I'm going to Vegas.
Oh?
I'm going to the Super Bowl.
That's pretty sweet. I have never been to a Super Bowl.
It's my first time too. I don't want to get too excited because I'm the type of person, James, if I get too hyped up about something and it doesn't happen, it's soul crushing for me.
Oh, really?
So I had the expectation right now, they're going to lose on Sunday. And if they win, it's oh wow, they won. This is fantastic. Oh my God, I get to go to the Super Bowl instead of saying, well,
I could have gone. It could have happened.
Shoulda, coulda, woulda.
What are your initial thoughts? Coming into this week, yesterday we talked a lot about, me and Jesse, about sort of the things that scare you about the Lions. But today, I just want to, what do you think of this game coming up?
I think you got to be less concerned about your opponent and more concerned about yourself. I didn't think the 49ers played a clean game, especially against the Green Bay team, which is probably one of the hottest teams in the NFC. I think the only other team that hot at the time playing that great of football was the Buccaneers, with Baker Mayfield and how well he's been playing lately. But I don't think the Packers exposed the 49ers to anything. I don't think the 49ers played a good game. And I think a lot of it had to do offensively was they had this whole plan based around Deebo Samuel. I think 50% of the running plays were going to be based off of him. That's why Christian McCaffrey had such a low carry mark, I think under 20 carries for 99 yards. I think that completely blew up their game plan, and Kyle didn't really know how to adjust off of that. I also, you look at it, and Brock Purdy spoke yesterday, and I listened to the Brock Purdy stuff, his press conference, and he was like, you know, some of the throws in that first half I missed, but we weren't all on the same page in that first half. There was a couple of plays where, you know, I think it was Ray McLeod was supposed to cut out towards the boundary and cut back in because his defender fell, and he Brock threw it far and he went in, and it was a bad play, broken play, but Ray was open. So if he ran the right play, he would have picked up 45 yards. So you look at that and you say, offensively, I think there was a lot to forget in that performance, a lot you can build on. And if Debo doesn't play, or if he does play, you know, I don't think it may, like, Stephen A. had this huge prediction yesterday, like, oh my God, if Debo doesn't play, they're losing that game. I disagree. I think you have to have a definitive answer if he's playing or not, because that's going to base around your game plan. If he doesn't play, I think you run Christian McCaffrey more. I think you do a lot of play action with George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk over the middle. I think you have Ray McLeod play a lot of that Debo Samuel role in the slot. If he does play, though, I think a lot of jet sweeps. I think you play your the same game that you were playing or scheduled to play against the Packers. But you know, shoulder injuries are tough, man. And the fact that it's the same lingering shoulder problem that Debo has does worry me. I don't want him to force something and not be. I know you want him out there. You'd rather have him out there than not have him out there. But I'd rather have him be a decoy than be part of the game plan.
Okay. No, I mean, I get it. I would just say this for Kyle Shanahan. If you walked into that game and you didn't have a backup plan for Debo Samuel getting injured, I don't know what you're doing, because Debo's got hurt plenty of times, mm-hmm. in plenty of games. You haven't had him a full game. There should have been a plan behind the plan. You brought up Brock Purdy, and you know, I think so many people are like, he's so polarizing for some reason. For someone who's not polarizing as a person, he seems so polarizing as like an idea. And it always confuses me why people just can't accept that he's a good quarterback. And sure,
because he's picked last pick of the draft. That's why.
I guess, but like, at what point does that matter? I mean, Tom Brady's the greatest quarterback in the history of the NFL. He's a 6th round pick. Like, move on. Like, it is what it is. The guy was dominant for years. But is this game, and then maybe even the next game, is it how he changes or cements whatever people think of him? Like, if he loses this game and it's his fault, like throws 2 or 3 picks, is he just going to have that, like, that's going to be who he is forever? And we could still hear Kyle Shanahan, well, Brock, you're the starter next year, unless we somehow get Tom Brady out of retirement at 50 or 53 or 56. Like, are we going to keep hearing that? Or do you think this is the one where, like, look, he could quiet everything and go from, like, a really solid, good young quarterback to a guy who saw it completely differently?
I think that's interesting that you bring up that, you know, is it ride or die this week with Brock or this playoffs? I don't think so, because this is a second-year player who got thrown into the mix midway through last season, didn't even have a full training camp. This year didn't have a full offseason program. Everyone forgets that. They're like, oh yeah, he did have that injury, but he was still ready for week 1. Yeah, dude didn't even have an offseason program, okay?
Yeah.
Like, think about that for a sec. Do you know how important that is, especially with connections with your guys, your skill position guys? I think I listened to what the other greats say. Steve Young came out and did something with the 49ers last week. Lindsay Perales, who's their 49ers beat reporter on TV, she's fantastic. She asked him, like, what intrigues you about Brock? And he said, it's the it factor that you can't – that is not grown within something that is, you're born with it, you have it, it's an innate ability. And he said, this kid is just, when you walk into the room, you know, okay, it's time for business. And he compared it to only a few people that he's ever been around that can control a room and have everyone's attention. And you look at guys like Trent Williams, who's been in the league, but Big Trent's seen everything in his day, and he loves this dude like no other, and will follow him to the ends of the earth. So I don't think this is make or break. I think you got to remember, kid is in his 3rd year. He is in Patrick Mahomes, that was taken in that 1st round, that everyone said, oh my God, look how great this guy is going
to
be.
Who got to sit for a year.
Yes.
Who got to play behind Alex Smith for a year.
Yes.
He's not Jordan Love, who got to sit for 3 years behind a Hall of Fame quarterback and learn how to play the game and learn, you know, reads and everything else. He was behind, he was a 3rd quarterback. Behind a marginal quarterback in Jimmy Garoppolo and a bust in
Trey Lance.
And he was an afterthought. He wasn't getting all the extra reps. Sure enough, he shows up and doesn't lose. So I don't know. For me, it's, I agree with you, but I think there are a lot of people out there who frame it that way. Like, I need to see it. Like, you could see it 3 years from now. That's okay. I mean, we still haven't seen it from Trevor Lawrence. Like, Joe Burrow doesn't have a Super Bowl. Josh Allen doesn't have a Super Bowl ring. Like, none of those guys have Super Bowl rings. Like, Dak Prescott, man, I hate to tell you this, but Brock Purdy has 3 playoff wins. Dak has 2 in a 10-year career. Like, Tony Romo sitting there talking all the trash on TV. 2 playoff wins. Brock Purdy has more playoff wins than you. And so I get the sentiment that people want to see it or whatever, but I also, like, let the kid grow. Let him be who he's going to be. I'm so used to the NBA where players, this in their rookie season, this in their second year, this in their third year. By the third year, you should probably know who they are. But then that fourth year is when they really take off, they excel. It's so, like, almost like set in stone that that's how it goes. But to have a quarterback that comes out of nowhere and people are just questioning the whole time just seems really weird.
I want to learn, if I want to learn anything from Brock, it's how to plant a field and crop it. Apparently he's really good at this type of stuff.
Really?
Yes.
All right. Well, he's got to figure out a way to plant a field here. He does. So there's all kinds of, hey, he does. He's got to figure it out. All right. You're listening to the Insiders on ESPN 1320. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. I am James Hamm. He is Jake Gayden from ESPN from CBS 13. Jeez.
I'm getting a contract at the end of the day, guys. That's, I don't know, right, if you knew this yet.
When we come back, let's talk more Kings. Let's dive into whether they need to make a deal or not. Again, we'll be back in just a minute.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
In life, some days are good and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work, both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Now, Backtiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube, ESPN 1320.
We are back, cruising through this second. I am James Hamm. Joining me today, Jake Gayden from CBS 13. I got it right.
Congratulations on a 10-day contract, though, guys.
You want a 10-day contract?
10-day contract. I sign it right after the show.
It comes with all the coffee, drink, and very little else.
No, there's only one thing that I need to give a shout-out to the people this morning from Auburn.
Oh, my goodness, yes.
That was the best cinnamon bun I think I've had in years.
Yeah, so good folks, there's a bakery hiding in Auburn. Actually make bread for all kinds of different restaurants and stuff. My goodness, they make cinnamon rolls of all time.
Is this the same place you get from?
No. So the spot is totally different. That's just Cool Donut Shop, right? Right there on top of the box that's sitting in there, Jesse, I think Baker and the Cake Maker?
Yeah, you got that right. The Baker and the Cake Maker.
So shout out to the Cake Maker. There's some, first of all, it's the cinnamon roll covered in glaze, which makes a good cinnamon roll. But like the white, like frosting glaze. Like it's like a true incredible glaze. But on that, they found to like set the whole middle of cinnamon roll with cinnamon. So it just like a bunch of stuff on top and then just dead. Just absolutely phenomenal.
It's like they dipped it into then or like infused it with so something. Good. It's just, I don't know. Brilliant. So James, part of the 10-day contract will be you bringing that in every single week.
Okay,
that's the exception, all right? Yeah. Line A of my contract.
That's right. So we've got the Kings are off on a 7-game road trip. They start tonight in Golden State. We're going to preview that in the final segment like we typically do. But when you have a team that leaves right now on January 25th, and they won't be back until February 6th. Trade deadline is February 8th. There's a good possibility that there are players on this team that we've already watched play at home for the last time. And it's always like sort of the jarring thing that is the NBA. And it's hard. It's hard for some of these players to like, you know, wrap their head around. It's hard for them to get through this time. We saw, again, Harrison Barnes has been mentioned in so many different trade rumors. And of course, Harrison talked to the media yesterday, Jake, and he's just such a pro that he's trying to handle it his way. But at the same time, this is a guy that we hadn't seen in a while. He's been sort of in the background. Even he put up 32 points the other night and we didn't get him after the game. He's kind of like, he's okay not being out in front at this point because this is hard. This is a difficult time for a guy who literally has put his heart and his soul into Sacramento for the last like 5 or 6 years, who signed another 3-year deal this summer and could have gone to other places. But now he could be the chip that they have to use to go get the piece they need to make the next jump in their evolution. And that's not easy.
We talk about this all the time. I've talked this with Brandon Nunez, who you know very well, and I talk scenarios with him all the time. This team reminds me a lot of the Denver Nuggets of a couple of years ago with Paul Millsap as that old veteran that everyone knew. And I compare Paul Millsap to Harrison Barnes, of a guy that's been here for a number of years, was a staple guy, definitely a core player, a veteran on a team that was up and coming with Jokic and Jamal Murray.
Had made an all-star team,
was considered a good player in the league, but unfortunately just declined his final 2 years in Denver to the point where Denver tried to ship him off his final year, couldn't do that. They just decided not to re-sign him. That reminds me of Harrison Barnes, where his play is consistently dipped. And what I'm frustrated in with him is we can see a game where he had 32 the other night or 36 in the opening night of the year, and then we see a polar opposite of absolutely 0, 0, and 1, and you're playing 20 minutes. Neither are Harrison. Harrison's more in the middle, okay, of a 9, 4, 5, 5, and 4 type of guy, okay? Or 12, 3, and 3, whatever you want to say, right? But I don't know if he's going to be able to be that guy with the Kings. So I truly do expect him to be a type of to be one of those trade, like one of the pieces they're going to have to move if they want to get a guy and take that next step as an organization. On the flip side, I get it from Harrison. The dude doesn't want to be traded. He likes his role. He likes this team. He likes the veteran place that he's in.
He likes his life.
It's a good Sacramento. You know, Sacramento's been very good to him and his wife. I think at the same time, he also, do you think he has a little PTSD from his time with the Warriors and the way things ended with him there before they started winning? Like, you were here for that. That's what I want to get your opinion on in terms of, like, is there any PTSD of, like, when he was getting shown the door by the Golden State Warriors? Is that the same feeling you have here with Sacramento, saying, hey, you did a great job for us while you were here, but now we got to move on to bigger and better?
Yeah, okay, so I like to make analogies, which you've already seen.
Yes.
So I think we see Harrison Barnes and he averages 15 points a game, right? Last season, 15 points a game, which like on paper is great. But there's this thing like when someone gets older and they get dementia, right? And they've kind of lost, they can't function day to day as far as like they have memory lapses. They don't know who, who people are and all that stuff. But people who deal with people that are in this situation, they will tell you that whoever you were before is magnified tenfold in that situation. So if you were the sweetest lady ever, you become even more sweet as a dementia patient. If you were an a-hole, you become more and more and more of a jerk and hard to deal with when you have dementia. So basically it strips apart like all of the extra and leaves who you really are that people have to deal with, right? Mm-hmm. And so again, you have like the flirty grandpa that like hits on every waitress. You get him as a dementia patient, you can imagine what that's like. Like, so
I'm not bringing him out in public.
This is why I bring this up, because I think as Harrison Barnes has aged, he's shown us who he's been his whole career, which is exactly what we're seeing now. It's the guy that can put up 32 one night, and a guy can put up 2 another night. It's just we're seeing the extremes because he's no longer the same type of role player he was before. And so Billy Owens was the guy that was always known for one night he gets you 22 rebounds, the next night he gets you 1. And you would just shake your head like, what is wrong, dude? And I think that that's always been Harrison Barnes to average 15 points a game, had a bunch of 10-point games and a bunch of 20-point games. He did not have a bunch of 15-point games. And now as his role is reduced and reduced and reduced, which again isn't by his choice, it's by the team's choice, and they've made a conscious decision to go and allow Keegan Murray to grow into who he's going to be, and we broke Kevin Huerter, so we got to get Kevin Huerter back. So again, they just keep devaluing who Harrison Barnes is, that he's become this person that he always was. It's just you see the extremes so much more because of where he is in the pecking order. And that means sometimes he's going to get you 30, and other times he's going to get you nothing. And you got to kind of either live with it or you got to find someone else. If you change his position, you get him in a better situation, he probably would be different. If he went somewhere else and they needed him to average 15 a night, he could probably go back to that 20 and 10 guy, where one night it's 20 and another night it's 10. But with this team, I just think that there's so much time passed and so established like who he is, that we're just seeing the extremes of who he's always been. If that makes sense.
No, it does. And I do want to ask you this, because I know we're up against the clock here on this, but maybe a quick answer. Do you think him throwing up 32 the other night and Davion playing well and earning defensive player of the game, do you think that helped their trade stock at all?
Sure. And I'll be real quick with it, because I think what it does is it shows somebody that, like, look, it's circumstantial here. They can't be who they can be with our system. They can still be that person. They just can't do it here. That's not who we are with them anymore. Now, Davion, I feel bad for him because he goes 2 for 7 from the field or whatever it was. He didn't put out his best foot. But the fact that they played him 22 minutes, don't think that that was like by accident. He played 22 minutes, not by accident. Trae Young wasn't out there. Like, you played Davion Mitchell 22 minutes for a specific reason. And it's to show people, like, yeah, he's 100% healthy. He's just a square peg in a round hole on our team. And there's nothing wrong with him. He just isn't what we need. And that's okay. It's okay for a young player to go find somewhere else to play. I mean, look at, again, I always compare Davion, the potential of Davion is very similar to me to what it was with Kyle Lowry. Mm-hmm. Look at Kyle Lowry's first 4 or 5 years of his career. Couldn't find the right situation, found the right situation, succeeded. That may not be what happens to Davion, but there's that potential out there. So, all right, we gotta step aside for one last break here on the Insiders. I am James. He is Jake. Brought to you by Jiffy Lube. We'll see you in a minute.
Now, back to the Insiders, brought to you by Jiffy Lube on ESPN 1320.
Welcome back in to the final segment of Thursday's edition of the Insiders here on ESPN 1320.
Cheer.
I'm James. Joining me today, Jake Gaydon from CBS 13. By the end of the day, I have figured out how to say it right. No, he's not getting a 10-day contract. I've now figured it out. We are learning right now. 27 seconds ago, Adam Schefter tweeted, 49ers receiver Deebo Samuel will be limited at today's practice due to his shoulder injury.
Ooh, baby.
That is a step forward, because limited is better than not in uniform. So you're saying there's a chance, Jake.
So you're saying there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. We're going to dive into the Kings Warriors game that's happening tonight, Thursday, down at Chase Center. But before we do, let's finish up this discussion. I think, you know, we kind of got a little sideways when it came to just focusing on Harrison Barnes in the last segment, but the Kings are going into this road trip. Do you think that this thing, like, same when they come back?
No. I already know this for a fact. I think they will make a deal or make a trade.
You already know this for a fact.
No, fact.
Fact, fact.
It's going to happen. No, I don't know for a fact, okay? I have a very good sneaking suspicion, inkling, that everything points to something happening before the trade deadline. As you said, there, Davion is a great example. Harrison's another great example. There are guys that are good basketball players that just don't fit in well with this, with what's going on with this team right now. My question for Monty McNair, if you're listening, all right, or Wes, if Wilcox, if you're listening.
Wes is more likely to listen, or he'll have his children go through and listen.
Yes.
And then feed him. Yes.
So Wes's kids, or Wes, if you're listening, okay?
This is why we don't like to curse on the Kings Beat podcast.
Yes.
Because, you know, we do it for the children.
All for the children, okay?
Right. Go ahead.
But if they are listening, I would want to know from him, is this a year or a trade deadline where you feel like you go all in on a guy, or is this a trade deadline where you tweak? Personally, from the outside in, this is more of a tweak one. I don't like, there's not a slam dunk, I like this trade, this is a great trade. I look at Kyle Kuzma and I say, that was a guy available this offseason. Why? What happened there?
They tried.
I know they tried, but I don't know. I you know, if you wanted him, I think you could have gotten him.
Oh no, I like, you were in it, but he chose to go somewhere else
and play with Jordan Poole.
Yeah, and, you know, I think he now learned that was a poor decision and probably would be willing to
figure out
reconsider that since they have, what, 6 or 7 wins?
Yes, yes.
But maybe I'm wrong. But the decision itself should be questioned.
Yes.
Go ahead.
And then the other one, which I'm a big fan of because I've watched him before and I've seen what he's evolutionized as a player, is Jeremy Grant. I saw Jeremy Grant when he was with the Nuggets before he signed the deal with the Pistons. Mm-hmm. Before he got, or before, not deal with the Pistons, I think he got traded to the Pistons, if I'm correct.
I think he signed.
He definitely signed. He signed with the Pistons and then signed again with Portland after opting out with the Pistons and to be with Dame. I just don't know if Portland knows what they're doing up there right now. And if they have decided, okay, break this thing up, Chauncey's done, it's Shaden Sharpe and let's just roll from there. And say, hey, we're desperate enough to give up Jeremy Grant for, you know, 2 first-round picks, and you trade away Harrison Barnes and Davion Mitchell with them, and you call it a day from there. Or do you do something where the reports coming out is Dorian Finney-Smith or Royce O'Neal or two guys that are possibly guys that you can come off your bench? They're two different spectrums. I like the Jeremy Grant deal because I see what he can provide. Big bounce guy, long, athletic, great on the defensive end, doesn't need to be the guy when it comes to being on the offensive end of the ball, but can defend and play multiple positions. If you think about trying to go small ball, Jeremy would be a great 5 guy. If you put him out there with Sabonis or Trey Lyles or Alex Len or JaVale, I think he works well with that. Or if you have to go big, I still think he can play the 3 if he really needed to, if Keegan Murray is somehow or another in foul trouble or something like that, or if he's out for the game. The variety that Jeremy can provide, I think I really do enjoy. And that's what you got to ask yourself. Do we go in all in on this trade deadline and forge something and say this is our window? Or do we say, hey, let's just continue to take the patient route and kind of go from there?
Yeah. Okay. So I think it's always interesting. Like, what is all in? What does all in mean? Right. And I think it means something different for everybody. The Kings do have, like, we hear this weird thing, right? Like, the Lakers right now, they have a first-round pick and a pick swap that they can trade. That's all they have. If they wait until draft night and draft a player, all of a sudden they've got 3 first-round picks that they can work with because they can trade the next year's pick, and then they can trade 2 years after that and 2 years after that. So you're always wondering, like, what exactly does all in? And for the Kings, like, again, they can't trade 2024 because it's – it's a protected, it could actually end up not going. If the Kings don't make the playoffs, they have their 24 pick. If they do make the playoffs, then it goes right to the Atlanta Hawks. So you can trade your 26, your 28, your 30, but all of those come with stipulations that if it doesn't relay you, then it would have to go to the next year, right? So I think for me right now, an all-in move is like just pushing your draft picks in. Like there is no all-in move where the Kings push Keegan Murray into the pot.
No.
Unless some crazy deal comes along where, again, Giannis Antetokounmpo, like I hate Doc Rivers and I want to go to the Sacramento Kings, trade me there. Then it's like, okay.
Or Kevin Durant says, hey, Phoenix ain't working out.
Even Kevin Durant's like 35. You gotta be a little bit younger. Suspect there.
Okay.
Yeah. So I love, like, the Jeremy Grant thing has grown on me because and the same with Kuzma, but for two totally different reasons. Kuzma's contract is like manna from heaven. Like realistically, that's one of the best contracts I've ever seen for a player of his skill set. Right, the fact that it's 25.5, 23.5, 21.5, and 19.5 over the next 4 years, and you're getting to pay a guy who's 31 years old a declining scale deal as Keegan Murray's contract kicks in, that's a big deal, right? So in a perfect world, I would love his contract. Now, as far as a player, I would prefer Jeremy Grant, where I will tell you 2 years ago, I didn't like the idea of trading for Jeremy Grant because he didn't fit with the current roster that the Kings had. He wasn't good enough to change what was going on then, but now he is. With Sabonis there, he's a different player that could actually, in my opinion, help complement Sabonis. And so I've come around on that, but Jeremy Grant's contract is not pretty. And that's where I think if you're the Portland Trailblazers, you're not being pushed. He's not saying, I want out. He's actually saying the opposite. Like, I signed here because, you know, his dad played there. He grew up around there. He wants to be there. That's why he's fine being there, right? But he just signed a 5-year, $160 million deal. And that means that if you trade him now, just not even considering this year's contract, you still owe him 4 years and $120 million. Mm-hmm. And he's approaching 30. He's almost 30. If you're the Blazers, you should be looking around like, I don't want to get stuck with that $36 million in the last year. And that's something the Kings have to look at too. Like, do we really want to make a move for Jeremy Grant, who will be paid $36 million when he's 33, 34 years old? And that's it's a good question. Like, maybe, but it's not a contract that's so far extreme where, again, you're looking at Pascal Siakam that wants a full max money and he's $60 million at that same age, or $52 million, or Zach LaVine, who is owed like $200 million.
Stay away from that contract.
Yeah, I mean, it's the contract that you're looking at more than it is a player. I can't even look at the player and say, how would he fit? Because I can't get past the contract. It just like smacks you. Mm-hmm. You're like, oh, no. Yeah, so I'm kind of with you. I think this team will look different when they come back. I think they will have tried to make their big deal. And the Jeremy Grant deal, if there's somehow that you do get that deal done, and I don't know how, and I don't know what you got to give up and all that stuff because Portland is holding on to him pretty tightly. But if you can make that trade, I think that really does feel like your Aaron Gordon move.
Thank you. I was about to say.
It is.
That's it. And then you maybe make one more offseason move where you add a KCP.
Okay, yeah, or you do go get a Royce O'Neal.
Yes.
Or you do go get a Dorian Finney-Smith, but mm-hmm. those are lighter deals, you know, other ways that you try to get those players. I mean, I don't understand. We keep hearing that the Nets want first-round picks for Dorian Finney-Smith. The guy's like 30 and averaging 9 points a game. Like, I know he's a good defender, and I know his contract is okay. It's like it's a low budget, you know, I think 2 or 3 years left on his deal. But that's still a lot of money. A lot of asset. And if I'm the Kings, I'm not giving up that kind of asset for him. So,
second round pick, top thing I'd give up.
I think maybe 2 second round picks.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Multiple second round picks.
Yeah. I mean, it might end up being multiple second round picks,
which I'm fine with.
Yeah. I would hate to see the Kings make a deal with a team like the Nets for two. Even if you got both of them, like, but they're role players. They're not top six of your rotation. They might be top eight of your rotation, but they're not top six. If you're going out and getting those guys, and sure, maybe they are the thing that shore up everything and make your defense great, right? But in order to get those two, you're probably going to have to give up at least one first round pick and maybe some other stuff. And that's a lot to give up if you're going to make another move down the road to go get. Yeah.
The bench is getting crowded too.
Well, yeah, the bench is getting crowded, but also you don't have the assets. You might not have the assets after that to go get a Jeremy Grant, to go get a Kyle Kuzma, to go get the actual player that is a step above that you need to change this thing.
You're not wrong.
Yeah.
Not
so
wrong.
Complicated. Do you expect them to make a deal?
Yes.
You said yes?
I think the deal's a deal will happen, and I'd be surprised if Davion and Harrison Barnes are the two players that are coming back. Kevin Huerter, I'm 50-50 on. I think they're starting to like Kevin again because they see what they got in Chris Duarte, and they're like, I don't know. What he expected. But I think Harrison and Davion are two pieces that if you're going to ask me the two players who I don't think are making that road trip back with the Kings, those are the two.
Okay. I would agree with you. Like if they do make a deal and the deal is for a substantial player, I that would be the two assets that I think at this point go out. I was kind of sold earlier that I like the idea of them finding a way to make a trade without Harrison Barnes going out. So then that way you still had him in your forward rotation. But at this point, I think Kevin Huerter has proven to be more valuable. And again, when Kevin Huerter's good, you forget how good he is because like when he's bad, it can be pretty dramatic. But when he's good, man, his ability to draw a crowd and to change the defense for you is really, really high level. But can you trust him? That's going to be the question.
25 years old. Everyone forgets that.
Yeah. Yeah. He could grow out of some of this, but I would be slightly concerned. Dorian Finney-Smith, just so people out there know, he's $13.4 million this year, $14.4 million next year, $15.4 million the year after that. But again, that's it. Those are his 31 and 32 years that he has a player option for 2025-26. Again, that's another guy who could walk away from a deal and you only have him for a year and a half. And that's a pretty steep price if you do actually give up multiple first round picks or first round picks for him. We're going to dive in. Casey's here. He's going to get logged in and get everything up and rolling.
He's looking good today, guys. He's always looked good, though.
He's always got a little White Sox hat on.
Straight up. No, but I like the jacket he's got on right now.
The fit. Okay.
Yeah. The real question is, though, does Damian show the ankles today?
He's always showing the ankles. All right.
How is it? Is it 3 inches? Is it 6 inch? Is it?
I don't.
Well,
I'm
hey,
not.
Hey, I don't, Jesse. Hey, did you grab the flag? Hey.
Flag.
Hey,
Jake out here. Flag. Jake is out here asking for strange.
It's illegal contact.
Illegal contact.
Throw the flag on that one.
That's amazing. That's amazing. Let's bust through keys really quick. I'm sure Casey can come up with keys on the fly. Sacramento Kings matchup tonight for the fourth time this season with the Golden State Warriors. This is a big game. Yeah. Kings need to get this road trip off on the right kickstart it the right way. My first key is exactly that. Start the road trip the right way. This for me, it's a huge moment in the season. Seven games. There's a lot of winnable games on this trip. But if you're going to play like you have, like the hit and miss, this could get ugly really quick and kind of get out of control. And this, for me, is you go seven games over 500, you start building, you go into Dallas with a little confidence, you never know what happens. Jake, what's your first key?
First key for me is dealing with the Warriors' emotions. Last night was a very emotional night at the Chase Center. Of course, we saw them honor Decky, their assistant coach, and played very well in that game. How emotionally spent are you? And can the Kings take advantage of that? Because, again, you're coming off of, again, 2 days off. They had a game, and then 3 days off after that, they're rested. This is a rested team. Can you take advantage of that emotional game last night? Casey, what you got?
Man, I say treat this like game six. Mm. And what I mean by that is it felt like they found something in game six against this particular Warriors team. And obviously there's a few personnel changes, but the core for both teams remained the same. And they got up and down the floor. Malik Monk, De'Aaron Fox, they didn't let those older guards, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson, those guys, they didn't let them off the hook. And any opportunity they had to attack the basket on them or attack them in transition, they did that. Get back to that game six motto, because like I said, a lot of the people are still around, and it feels like the Warriors are like, they look a year older, like they play a year older. So if you want to get them, especially coming off a back to back, you talked about the emotions, push that basketball every opportunity in the off a made and off a missed basket.
Yeah, the Warriors do have an appearance of a team that went out and got old. I mean,
aside from JK. That guy got bounced.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah.
No, he does, but he hasn't played particularly well outside of preseason against the Kings, like a lot of dribbling. My second key, for all the noise, whether it's the Fox situation or trade rumors, there's a hand, and they need to stay focused. And I don't want to see a player on the court that you look like might not be in the right frame of mind. Mm. Because I think we've seen that recently, where it's like, whether it's off-the-court stuff or whether it's situation or whether it's losing or whether it's frustration, whatever it is, I think we've seen a couple of players who look like they are all of that. And that's not a good way to walk into a game.
Yeah.
Second key for me, it's De'Aaron Fox's get right game. I feel like he has not looked good the past couple of games. We've talked about, you know, hey, sometimes players hit lulls within the season. This is the dog days of the season, as Mike Brown has put it. I think when you look at De'Aaron, this is a team that you've played against multiple times. You've faced off against them in the playoffs. You had success against them in the first game of the season. I believe he didn't play that second game and then played in the in-season tournament game in which they won. But that first game, I think he dropped like 30 and then he had 27 in the second. This is a game where De'Aaron knows the opponent, knows how to attack the opponent. Bring it, buddy. This is a time to, like you said, build off of what James said. Start the road trip off on a good note. And if De'Aaron can dominate in this game, that means he's going to have a good next 2 weeks on the road.
Yeah, and the second one for me is to get grimy. And what I mean by that is I believe this Warriors team, the way they are right now and where they are mentally, and I'm not even talking about the tragedy that they suffered, just like the makeup of the team this year, I think they can be outworked. You know what I mean? And you talk about guys like Kevin Huerter going down there, getting 9 rebounds in a game. You know, maybe you can get a different performance from Harrison Barnes this time around. De'Aaron, what he's able to do. Sabonis, Trey Lyles, even JaVale McGee. Get grimy. Get physical. In that first game they played this year where Klay Thompson hit the buzzer beater, the Kings were in control of that game, I think, in large part because they were getting physical. They were getting grimy, and that was without De'Aaron Fox. So repeat that type of effort and intensity in this game, and I think you can come away with a victory.
Okay. My last key is, this isn't the same Warriors team that beat you in the playoffs. It's not the same Warriors team that beat you a couple of times in the first week of the season. This is a moment where you have an opportunity to put a team away, sort of. Like, there's a way that they can come back a little bit, but you can send a knockout blow here. And you can tie the season series at 2 games apiece, which makes it more difficult if they end up tying with you. Like, this is a moment where a team is teetering. Go ahead and put them away.
Yeah.
Final one for me. This every game that they play this year comes down to the final 4 minutes of the game. Finish. Finish the final 4 minutes. We've seen the Kings sputter on that last road trip in the final 4 minutes. You look at the Milwaukee game. You look at the 76er game. And then you specifically look at the Phoenix game and say, yo, we talked about this a week and a half ago. We talked about it all last week on how we need to finish these games on the road. When we smell blood, you put in the knife and you twist it. That's what I want.
That's a lot. That's a lot.
I want that to happen, though. It's graphic. It's graphic. But it's got to happen. I want like the Beam Champs with 2 minutes to go in the game, okay?
I like that.
In the Chase Center, okay? That's the energy I want tonight.
I like that. The last one for me is get back under center, hand the ball to McCaffrey. You can use all your play actions after that.
Let's go!
And get to work. I'm sorry, guys. I'm getting locked in at this point. It's Thursday. I need to go to the Super Bowl. I want the win for the Kings for sure, but I'm getting locked in. Get back under center. And you have all your playbook available to you when you do that, okay? None of the gun stuff too much. I don't want the gun run. Get back to getting under center, because if you do that, that Detroit Lions secondary, that could be cake. That could be cake. And that's my last key. Let's go, goddammit.
There it is.
Baby, bringing the fire.
There's his keys. All right, we got a couple of minutes here to finish up. We had a pretty long discussion about you know, the Miles Bridges rumor that the Kings might be one of the teams that could be, that could possibly be interested. Like one of those woulda, coulda, shoulda, maybe, possibly. What do you think? Yay, nay?
So I let me just first and foremost say, if I was in control, if I was Monty McNair, I just couldn't do it. There's no way I could justify making that move. And once again, I hope under people, I said it before, I hope people understand what I'm saying when I say this. You know, like, it's all inexcusable. But I'm dealing in the real world and everything else like that. Miles Bridges is not the guy you take that risk for. Like, he's not, I hate to say it, but he's not good enough for that. You know what I'm saying? And there's a question of whether anybody's good enough. And I'm all for that. But I'm just saying, Miles Bridges is not the guy that you take that type of risk and take that type of stance for in that situation. But there is another philosophical conversation that we could have maybe at another day is, I mean, regardless of how we all feel the same way about what he's done and everything else like that, he is in the NBA. And if he's in the NBA, like, he's available to be traded, he's available to be acquired as a free agent and all this other stuff. So there's that. I just know I couldn't do it right now. I couldn't do it. I think there's other avenues that you can go outside of Miles Bridges to try to improve your team.
James, there's a thing that I just realized that I didn't think we really commented on earlier is, here's, the front office is backed by a lot of females. Like, and if you look at that and you say, how would the female perspective, that with a front office that has Matina there, that has a lot of, like I said, very influential people that probably aren't okay with this, especially as a female.
I'd say, Jake, male, female, no one should be okay with what happened.
Okay. Yes.
And just straight up, that's it. No one should be okay with what happened. And like, you're talking about a guy who is an unrestricted free agent at the end of the year. You might have bird rights to him, but that means nothing. Like, you could have him come in for 25 or 30 games, have you lose 5,000 or maybe it's 200 season ticket holders. It doesn't matter. It's too much.
Yeah. I wouldn't touch it with a 10-foot pole.
I wouldn't. Just,
that's what I said.
10-foot pole.
10-foot pole. Stay away.
All right. Jake, thanks for joining us today.
Where am I from?
CBS 13.
Thank you. Appreciate that. I was waiting for the 10-day contract. You were saying ESPN 1320 for like an hour. Man,
the brain. Have your people talk to our people.
Let's go, baby. All right.
All right. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. That's going to do it for this edition of The Insiders on ESPN 1320. Jake Aiden, thanks for joining us. Tomorrow we'll have Sean Cunningham. D'Lo and Casey are up next.
Yeah.
Send it over, baby.
Let's go.
See you soon.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Sometimes in football, you need just a little more for that first down. You need to be pushing the pile. And on our new podcast, we'll give you that extra effort.
I'm Mike Renner, a longtime NFL analyst who helped develop player evaluation systems that every NFL team uses to this day.
And I'm Kyle Long, former All-Pro offensive lineman in the NFL who knows a thing or two about getting people moving.
You'll get expertise from inside the trenches and behind the tape for 4 episodes every week. So make sure you download and subscribe to the Pushing the Pile podcast on the Odyssey app.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. and thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at MyBob's.com to play now.